Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Krejcik, and I'll be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism Scouting Program, and this is one of the core programs brought to you by Autism Empowerment. For those of you listening live, happy Halloween. We are broadcasting live today on October 31st, 2012, and we hope that this show will be surely a treat for you and not a trick. To get more information about Autism Empowerment and Autism Empowerment Scouting Program, after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. There you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and a variety of other multimedia outlets. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any previous broadcasts, you can listen to them via archive or via podcast or even up via iTunes. For more information, you can get that on the website as well. I want to thank Karen Krejcik, our Executive Director of Autism Empowerment, who hosted my last show on Wednesday. I believe it was, October 24th, and where we talked about boards of review. That show has been very popular, and so far is our number one rated and listened to show here at Autism and Scouting Radio. So that's a great show. If you haven't listened to it yet, I encourage you to go ahead and do that. We also posted a blog with the same subject at the Autism and Scouting blog at Scouting Autism and Scouting .blogspot.com, and also at Autism and Scouting Radio.blogspot.com. Since the launch of our radio show in July of this year, as of the 25th of this month, we've had over 3,500 listens to on our show. We're really making a really strong impact within the scouting community, both Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and worldwide. We want to thank so many people for your support and your listening to our programs. Karen, again, will be joining me today, where we're going to be talking about supporting scouts in the area of parades. But we're going to get back to that in just a little bit because I have a few more things to take care of. First of all, I want to let you know about a show tomorrow November 1st. We will have Jennifer Cook O'Toole. She'll be joining us where we'll be talking about special interests. She's a great mom, wonderful author, an Aspie herself, and she just has some wonderful tips on how you can integrate your scout's special interests within the scouting program, and we're really looking forward to having her back on the air. Next week is just going to be one kind of crazy full week for us, and hopefully you'll be tuning in then because we have a lot of stuff going on next week. On Tuesday, November 6th at 10 a.m., Pacific Standard Time, that's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Karen and I will be talking again about how we did this past weekend. We have a training coming up this weekend with the Cascade Pacific Council, and we have a review where we're going to look back and at the different classes that we taught and kind of go over some of the information that we did. So we're looking forward to doing that. Then on Wednesday, we have Tony May, the BSA's National Chair for Special Needs, will be coming back on the air as well because he's also the 2013 National Jamboree Chair for Disability Awareness Challenge, and he's going to be talking to us about that challenge and trying to get some more scouters out there to help in the pursuit of putting together a really strong program promoting special needs scouting to all scouts. On Thursday, we have a really cool show, and I'm really looking forward to this. This is our next segment in our Inspirations from the Spectrum collection. We'll be joined by Cadet Mary Grace. She is a Girl Scout. She has Asperger's, and we'll be joined by her and her mom, and we'll just be talking Girl Scouts and fun things and probably throwing some cookie stories as well, I'm sure. And then to round out the week, we'll be talking to Teddy, who is a brother and who has one brother and a sister who's on the autism spectrum. He is not on the autism spectrum, and we're going to take a look at what it's like to be a scout when you have siblings. And both of them are on the autism spectrum, and we're going to kind of revolve the show around him and kind of get his perspective and see just talk about things. I believe he's a Weebla, but we will double check on that, but I'm pretty sure he's a Weebla scout. In November, we're pretty much booked pretty solid. December, we have a couple dates already starting to be booked. We have some really amazing content, strong independent content that we're doing. We're also bringing on a mixture of guests. We have some really wonderful shows. Hopefully you'll tune in. If you have any ideas for any upcoming shows or if you'd like to be on a show, please email me at john@autismempowerment.org and we can totally work something out. So now let's get to today's show. Today we're going to be talking about parades. Who doesn't like a good parade? Well, some people maybe with a whole bunch of sensory issues probably don't want to be around parades. Some leaders won't even allow their scouts to participate if they're on the autism spectrum. And I think that's a mistake because I think, you know, there's a place and time where scouts can be thriving. And if you have the tools in place ahead of time, many times the situations can be resolved even before it happens. So a scout should be able to take part in all different types of outings the unit has, including parades. It doesn't matter if it's a Girl Scout unit, a Boy Scout unit, if it's here in the United States, in the UK, Australia, or anywhere. Having a scout have that chance to take part in that activity can help self-esteem and be more concentrated and have a more cohesive unit. So we're going to bring Karen on, and let's get the ball rolling. Welcome, Karen.
Hello. Happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you very much for having me on. Can I share something exciting with our listeners?
Sure.
I wanted to mention and thank all of you listeners out there because Autism and Scouting on Facebook recently reached a milestone of 1,000 fans. That's a collective community of scouters, leaders, parents, and scouts from around the world who are actively participating within our group. And I just wanted to give a shout-out and a special thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was pretty neat. We went over 1,000 yesterday, and we actually blew by that number pretty heartily. And I think currently we're actually 1,030, so we blew by that number pretty good. Thank you for mentioning that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's go ahead and get to the tips because we do have, this is a 30-minute show today, so we have about 20 minutes left, and let's get right into the tips. What would you think would be the first quality tip that we should share with our listeners?
Well, I want to just kind of remark upon what you said earlier as far as, you know, people who have kiddos on the autism spectrum might think, you know, initially that parades, oh, that's counterintuitive. That's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be marching. There's going to be waiting. Should I even have my scout consider participating? And I wanted to say that I agree with you. I think it's an opportunity to give a scout on the autism spectrum the chance to have the experience. Now, it may or may not be as successful as you would hope, but what we want to try to do is give the scout the opportunity to be able to participate in these types of events. Planning ahead is really it sounds really simple, but it is the key aspect of being able to make sure that your scout will have a more successful experience. And all of the tips that we're going to be talking about today really fall under the main concept. When you can plan ahead and you can try to prepare as best as possible for different types of situations that may come up, you're much more likely to have an event that's going to turn out in a positive way. So one of the first tips that we have, which seems rather obvious, is to go ahead and check the weather ahead of time. Now, we're coming up on Veterans Day, and a lot of scouting units are participating in Veterans Day parades around the country. In our local area here in Vancouver, Washington, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the Cub Scouts, a variety of different scouting organizations participate in a local Veterans Day parade. And being that we're here in Southwest Washington, it rains. So you're going to want to check the weather ahead of time, know what the weather will be, and you want to be prepared for whatever type of weather you may have, rain, wind, snow, cold, and if it's a summertime or if it's bright, you want to be prepared for the heat, the bright sun. You want to always have the type of appropriate clothing that's applicable for the weather and have an extra spare set of clothing, you know, available just to make sure that the scout is comfortable when it rains or snows, and to have something to potentially change into afterwards. Having an extra jacket to keep your scout warm or protect against the wind can help prevent extra challenges that might happen. So check the weather, and however you would normally dress your scout, your kiddo, if they're going out for certain types of elements, you want to make sure that you're prepared for that.
That's actually a good point, because I think it was the second year that we were here. We had jackets and everything, but we were just it just poured and poured and poured, and we were drenched. And we got back to the car. I mean, it soaked through our jackets. It was so wet, and we didn't have any dry clothes to change into, and we were just kind of miserable driving all the way back home. But it was one of those experiences now you can kind of look back and laugh at, but having a spare set of clothing is really a great idea.
You can just carry that. I mean, make sure the leaders have, you know, backpacks and stuff, something that they can carry that in.
Absolutely. So after you check the weather and you know what you have, what comes next?
Well, obviously, you want to know the times and places of the event. You want to be completely prepared to know exactly the location of where you're going to be meeting. A lot of times, parades, you're going to have a lot of different types of groups participating, so you may have a general idea initially of where you're going to be, but the more specific you can know, the better. Knowing what time to meet and when the event will start. A lot of times the leaders will have scouts arrive early ahead of time, but you have to be careful with this because a lot of times this will lead to a lot of waiting. And the more waiting without doing anything, the more just standing around, the bigger the chance that your scout on the spectrum will have issues. With any child, I mean, actually a lot of times with any adult, people don't really like to wait around, especially if they're just standing. So you want to make sure if you have the opportunity to kind of figure out what's the latest time that you would be able to arrive and still be able to integrate comfortably. Reducing the wait time really helps a great deal. Also, part of this is knowing specifically in advance where your unit is meeting and making sure that you find a location in advance to park. Because of the nature of parades, streets can be shut down. Typical parking units may not be available. So if you end in the parade in a place that's far away from where you start, you want to be prepared and you want to have someone be able to pick you up at the end or have transportation that's going to take you back to where you originally parked. So have all of that stuff planned in advance as well. You want to make sure, since the parade could be kind of a long experience, that you don't add extra unnecessary time to it by not being prepared with having a plan for parking.
That's awesome. Again, that goes back to my first experience with a parade. It was a 3-mile parade route, about 3-mile parade route, and it was a straight route initially, and we had no transportation back. So we actually had to walk all the way back to where we parked. So the next year we took care of that well in advance. So that's a great tip. What's next?
You know, and it's interesting you say that, because the very first year that you participated in parades, we weren't aware. That was the year right before our oldest was diagnosed with being on the autism spectrum. And, boy, I wish that we had been able to, like, implement some of these tips back for that first year. You know, what we're sharing today is applicable, actually, towards, well, most scouts in general. So keep that in mind as well. You may have scouts in your unit who may not be diagnosed on the spectrum, but they may have sensory issues or they may have attention challenges. And this is just, these are good tips and things to be thinking of for all of your scouts.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. The next thing that we have in terms of that waiting time is to bring things in advance for your scouts to do when they're waiting. You're probably going to have to wait a bit. And having something that is in the scout's comfort zone that can help keep their attention or special interest really works well. It'll help pass the time, and it'll allow the scout to focus on something other than waiting. And if it's, you know, if your scout has a special interest that relates to something that might be able to be carried in the parade, have them bring it along. It doesn't have to be something huge, but, for example, we know of a kiddo who really likes different animals, marine animals. And so he'll bring little animals, toy animals along for different types of events that he goes to. And just having something of comfort, you know, that can be there while you're waiting, whether it marches with you or not, making sure that you can have a comfort zone, a space of a place of security for your kiddo to be able to have with them while they're waiting.
That's a great tip. What my son did, he loves computers, and it's kind of hard to take a computer as a sensory item down while you're marching. But what he did, he took a flash drive and just put it in his pocket, and while he marched, he had that in his pocket. It was his connection to his special interest. So, I mean, you can, you know, be creative in doing that, and that's wonderful. That's using, unlocking that special interest usually is a key to a lot of successful tips when working with scouts on the autism spectrum. What do we got next?
Well, parades can be very noisy. A lot of times with parades, there's bands, there's, you know, different noise that's going to be going on. It could be police or fire sirens, and, of course, the crowds. So that's probably one of the biggest things that, you know, families are a bit apprehensive about having their child experience. But you can prepare for this in advance by doing a number of different things. One thing you want to have to bring with you is having noise-reducing headphones. It can really make life much better. It's a simple tool, but it can easily reduce meltdowns, and it can help a scout feel more secure. You also want to be able to have other types of protection as well. The thing is that you want to keep in mind that it's important for the scout to feel safe and comfortable. So preparing them in advance by having a social story or having a picture schedule that's going to explain to them exactly, you know, what is going to be happening, that's going to make things a lot easier, so that if you let them know in advance and you role play, okay, there's going to be some noise. What do we do when we hear noise? And you give them opportunities to kind of desensitize them by letting them kind of experience in advance some of the things that may come up. It's going to help them be able to deal with it better. You don't just throw them into the environment without having them have a chance to role play or participate. So thinking about those types of things in advance and being able to role play what they might experience is helpful as well.
One additional tip to that, you could go online, find videos of parades that have already happened, and play those for your scout in advance, so they can hear the different types of noises that they might hear, such as the bands or sirens or things like that. That way they can have a feel of kind of the environment without actually being in the environment, feeling the environment in a safe place at home. That way they have that to experience as well.
I completely agree with that. And, you know, right along with the same lines of that, I was thinking, like, if you have pictures from the specific parade that had been, like, maybe held in that location the year before, those would be good things to be able to show as well.
Absolutely. So we have noise protection. What's your next tip that you have there?
Well, also, I mean, when you're thinking about protection, you also want to be thinking about other things. If it is a parade that's being held during the day that can be hot out, you want to have eye protection if you're scout sensitive to light. You also want to make sure to have plenty of sunscreen while they're marching. You want to be able to make sure to have, you know, water. If the parade's at night, there still might be streetlights that could bother the scouts, so make sure that they're protected in terms of the eyes.
Very, very smart. What do we have next?
Okay.
These are wonderful tips,
well,
by the way.
And I wanted to go ahead and say that the tips that we're sharing today are also going to be put online in a blog within the next 24 hours. So if you want to be able to see some of these in a written form, maybe be able to print them out and be able to apply them to your unit or to your, you know, your individual family, we'll be able to have that available for you as well. So the next tip is a few days before the parade, it would be a great opportunity to walk the route with the scout if possible, or depending upon the weather, if that isn't possible, to drive it. Having the scout be able to see what it looks like. This kind of goes along with your, you know, videos of parades online, but this is actually seeing the route that they'll be on. So having them be able to see what it looks like and alleviate that fear of the unknown can help them better prepare and visually see the route. A lot of scouts on the spectrum see things, you know, they learn visually, and having that opportunity to be able to experience that makes it a lot more comfortable. And if it's possible, try to do it around the same time as the parade, because the lighting should be similar. So if the parade's going to be from, you know, 10 to 2, you know, go, stop by around 10, you know, go in that time of day. If it's going to be an evening parade, go in the evening, just so that you can prepare in advance. Also, be thinking about when you're going through the route, take a look at the different types of areas that there are that might be good to be able to escape potentially for a sensory break, also for a bathroom break. It's very, you know, in terms of being prepared, knowing the route, you know, knowing where you might be able to go, it could get quite overwhelming. And I'm not saying that every single scout is going to be able to have the most positive experience. We want to give them that opportunity and that chance because we want them to be able to build their self-esteem and be able to practice these types of opportunities. And it's important, though, that since there will probably need to be decompression time, that if you need to take a scout for a bathroom break or a sensory break, that you know where along the route might be the best areas to be able to do so.
Or even an exit plan, just in case the scout just needs to be out of the whole situation completely, just in case
that
happens.
Yeah, I was actually going to get into that a little bit later, but, you know, since you mentioned it, you know, sometimes things will get just too much, and the scout might be best served by leaving the situation or the area. And that is really why walking the parade route is so important, because it allows you to look for the best possible places to leave or exit the route. It makes you aware of where you might be able to go for a bathroom break. It makes you aware of just, you know, what's going to be the best strategy for you to be able to make the route the most successful.
That's awesome. That's a great tip. I mean, that's really strong. And I think knowing the route ahead of time is so, so good to have. What else do we have here?
Well, a special note, too, like on parade day, I mean, parades will vary quite a bit. There's going to be, you know, differing groups and, you know, different size and scope. There's smells. It may be a little bit different. This may be something that you may not be able to map out in advance, because there may be food vendors the day of the parade. So that if you know that your scout has smell sensitivities, that's something to keep in mind and to be able to try to, you know, role play or play for in advance. And speaking of food, it's important to make sure that you have snacks and drinks for the scout. You want to make sure that they also, you know, if it's a morning parade, make sure that they have a good breakfast. Make sure that they've had some, you know, good sleep the night before. And since walking can be draining, having healthy snacks can help provide nourishment during the event and provide the needed strength to complete the route if it's a long one. You know, the worst thing that could happen is you get out there and the elements are going down and you're waiting and it's a long walk and you're not prepared. You definitely want to be able to have, you know, some of those comfort items, and certainly you're going to be more likely to have the scout successful if they're nourished in advance and if they have, you know, extra water and energy boosts out there on the parade route.
That's awesome. I mean, a lot of times one of those 10 essentials in scouting is having a snack or something with them at all time, and that's something that they should carry with them through that tip as well. What if the scout, what if they're not walking? What if they're actually riding in something? Do you have any tips for that?
Yes. Well, so, yeah, sometimes, you know, they're on, in parades there could be floats. They might be riding on in something or on something. And if that's the case, it would be good for you to see if you have a designated spot in advance and to see where they're going to be sitting or riding or what they're going to be doing to give them that sense of security. You know, to just, if it's a float, give them the opportunity to maybe step, if it's something that they step up in, to be able to give them that experience in advance so that they feel comfortable. Anything that you can do to try to role play an experience that's different than something than they've experienced before, you know, or to be able to have that opportunity in advance to, you know, to meet the people that they might be riding with will be helpful. It's that comfort and that security and to be able to alleviate a lot of the unknown.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's a fabulous tip. We have only about 3 minutes left. Can you talk real briefly, what about after the parade? Can you talk about what maybe you could do after the parade to help your scout? And then,
yeah, well,
maybe
I
you can
think,
wrap
honestly,
up there.
This is one of those things, is that after an event such as this, you're going to need to allow for decompression time. You know, after the parade, you very well may need to have a few hours for your scout to decompress. You know, a lot of times different people say, you know, you have an hour of really heavy activity and you need a few hours to decompress afterwards. So make sure that you don't have a lot of other things scheduled and that you give the scout to be able to have an opportunity to be able to go somewhere quiet and safe and, you know, to be around an area where they just feel that they can be comfortable. Decompression time afterwards is really important. And I think it's also, you know, this is a really positive thing. What you want to get the scout motivated and you want to be able to take pictures of the event while it's happening because you want to be able to show them afterwards what they experienced. When you're marching in it, you don't really necessarily, you know, you're taking in things around you, but to be able to have pictures to show them afterwards of what they accomplished and let them know, you know, what they did was a really good thing, a positive thing, and to be able to have some sort of award or certificate. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You can create in advance, have certificates of completion, you know, for being able to march in the parade. You know, being able to have something that you can give them that they can take home that day that's going to be a positive, you know, and if you have an opportunity to have a picture that you can put with it at that time, that would be great. If not, you know, being able to give that to them later. Also to be able to show their parents and reinforce that these types of activities are positive and that they're able to create memories. And by having that type of positive experience at the very end, being able to go back and kind of decompress and go over what they had, you know, happen during the day, it'll make that type of experience easier the next time around.
That's fabulous. I mean, you just gave some incredible tips to help the scout be successful. I just want to thank you again for coming on the air today with us. Just again, reiterate what Karen said. Don't give up on your scout. Don't let them, you know, give them the chance to have a full scouting experience. Have faith in your scout. Accept the scout for who they are. give them enrichment, give them inspiration and encouragement, and then obviously that will lead to empowerment. So on that note, I want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you, Karen.
You're very welcome, and thank you. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween, and happy scouting, guys. Bye.
Bye.